A Warrior's Last Stand. Sunday, January 28th, 1962. Around 10 a.m., Don Juan walked into his house. He'd left at the crack of dawn. I greeted him. He chuckled, and in a clowning mood, he shook hands with me and greeted me ceremoniously. "We're going to go on a little trip," he said. "You're going to drive us to a very special place in search of power." He unfolded two carrying nets and placed two gourds filled with food in each of them, tied them with a thin rope, and handed me a net. We leisurely drove north for some 400 miles, and then we left the Pan American Highway and took a gravel road towards the west. My car seemed to have been the only car on the road for hours. As we kept on driving, I noticed that I couldn't see through my windshield. I strained desperately to look at the surroundings, but it was too dark, and my windshield was overlaid with crushed insects and dust. I told Don Juan that I had to stop to clean my windshield. He ordered me to go on driving, even if I had to crawl at 2 miles an hour, sticking my head out of the window to see ahead. He said that we couldn't stop until we'd reached our destination. At a certain place, he told me to turn to the right. It was so dark and dusty that even the headlights didn't help much. I drove off the road with great trepidation. I was afraid of the soft shoulders, but the dirt was packed. I drove for about 100 yards at the lowest possible speed, holding the door open to look out. Finally, Don Juan told me to stop. He said that I had parked right behind a huge rock that would shield my car from view. I got out of the car and walked around, guided by the headlights. I wanted to examine the surroundings because I had no idea where I was, but Don Juan turned off the lights. He said loudly that there was no time to waste, that I should lock my car so we could start on our way. He handed me my net with gourds. It was so dark that I stumbled and nearly dropped them. Don Juan ordered me in a soft, firm tone to sit down until my eyes were accustomed to the darkness. But my eyes were not the problem. Once I got out of my car, I could see fairly well. What was wrong was a peculiar nervousness that made me act as if I were absent-minded. I was glossing over everything. "Where are we going?" I asked. "We're going to hike in total darkness to a special place," he said.
"What for?"
"To find out for sure whether or not you're capable of continuing to hunt power."
I asked him if what he was proposing was a test, and if I failed the test, would he still talk to me and tell me about his knowledge?
He listened, without interrupting. He said that what we were doing was not a test, that we were waiting for an omen, and if the omen didn't come, the conclusion would be that I hadn't succeeded in hunting power, in which case I would be free from any further imposition, free to be as stupid as I wanted. He said that no matter what happened, he was my friend, and he would always talk to me. Somehow, I knew I was going to fail.
"The omen won't come," I said jokingly. "I know it. I have a little power."
He laughed and patted me on the back gently.
"Don't you worry," he retorted. "The omen will come. I know it. I have more power than you."
He found his statement hilarious. He slapped his thighs and clapped his hands and roared with laughter. Don Juan tied my carrying net to my back and said that I should walk one step behind him and step in his tracks as much as possible. In a very dramatic tone, he whispered,
"This is a walk for power, so everything counts."
He said that if I would walk in his footsteps, the power that he was dissipating as he walked would be transmitted to me. I looked at my watch. It was 11 p.m. He made me line up like a soldier at attention. Then he pushed my right leg to the front and made me stand as if I'd just taken a step forward. He lined up in front of me in the same position and then began to walk after repeating the instructions that I should try to match his footsteps to perfection. He said in a clear whisper that I shouldn't concern myself with anything else except stepping in his tracks. I shouldn't look ahead or to the side,
but at the ground where he was walking. He started off at a very relaxed pace. I'd no trouble at all following him. We were walking on relatively hard ground. For about 30 yards I maintained his pace and I matched his steps perfectly. Then I glanced to the side for an instant, and the next thing I knew, I had bumped into him. He giggled and assured me that I hadn't injured his ankle at all when I'd stepped on it with my big shoes, but if I were going to keep on blundering, one of us would be a cripple by morning. He said, laughing in a very low but firm voice, that he didn't intend to get hurt by my stupidity and lack of concentration, and that if I stepped on him again, I would have to walk barefoot. "I can't walk without shoes," I said in a loud, raspy voice. Don Juan doubled up with laughter, and we had to wait until he'd stopped. He assured me again that he had meant what he said. We were journeying to tap power, and things had to be perfect. The prospect of walking in the desert without shoes scared me beyond belief. Don Juan joked that my family were probably the type of farmers that didn't take off their shoes even to go to bed. He was right, of course. I'd never walked barefoot, and to walk in the desert without shoes would have been suicidal for me. "This desert is oozing power," Don Juan whispered in my ear. "There's no time for being timid." We started walking again. Don Juan kept an easy pace. After a while, I noticed that we had left the hard ground and we were walking on soft sand. Don Juan's feet sank into it and left deep tracks. We walked for hours before Don Juan came to a halt. He didn't stop suddenly, but warned me ahead of time that he was going to stop so I wouldn't bump into him. The terrain had become hard again, and it seemed that we were going up an incline. Don Juan said that if I needed to go to the bushes, I should do it, because from then on we had a solid stretch without a single pause. I looked at my watch. It was 1 a.m. After a 10 or 15 minute rest, Don Juan made me line up, and we began to walk again. He was right. It was a dreadful stretch. I'd never done anything that demanded so much concentration. Don Juan's pace was so fast, and the tension of watching every step mounted to such heights that at a given moment, I couldn't feel that I was walking anymore. I couldn't feel my feet or my legs. It was as if I were walking on air, and some force were carrying me on and on. My concentration had been so total that I didn't notice the gradual change in light. Suddenly I became aware that I could see Don Juan in front of me. I could see his feet and his tracks instead of half-guessing as I'd done most of the night. At a given moment he unexpectedly jumped to the side, and my momentum carried me for about 20 yards further. As I slowed down, my legs became weak and started to shake until finally I collapsed on the ground. I looked up at Don Juan, who was calmly examining me. He didn't seem to be tired. I was panting for breath and soaked in cold perspiration. Don Juan twirled me around in my lying position by pulling me by the arm. He said that if I wanted to regain my strength, I had to lie with my head towards the east. Little by little, I relaxed and rested my aching body. Finally, I had enough energy to stand up. I wanted to look at my watch, but he prevented me by putting his hand over my wrist. He very gently turned me around to face the east and said that there was no need for my confounded timepiece, that we were on magical time, and that we were going to find out for sure whether or not I was capable of pursuing power. I looked around. We were on top of a very large, high hill. I wanted to walk towards something that looked like an edge or a crevice in the rock, but Don Juan jumped and held me down. He ordered me imperatively to stay on the place I had fallen until the sun had come out from behind some black mountain peaks a short distance away. He pointed to the east and called my attention to a heavy bank of clouds over the horizon. He said that it would be a proper omen if the winds blew the clouds away in time for the first rays of sun to hit my body on the hilltop. He told me to stand still with my right leg in front, as if I were walking, and not to look directly at the horizon, but to look without focusing. My legs became very stiff, and my calves hurt. It was an agonizing position, and my leg muscles were too sore to support me. I held on as long as I could. I was about to collapse. My legs were shivering uncontrollably when Don Juan called the whole thing off. He helped me to sit down. The bank of clouds hadn't moved, and we hadn't seen the sun rising over the horizon. Don Juan's only comment was, "Too bad." I didn't want to ask right off what the real implications of my failure were, but knowing Don Juan, I was sure he had to follow the dictum of his omens, and there had been no omen that morning. The pain in my calves vanished, and I felt a wave of well-being. I began to trot in order to loosen up my muscles. Don Juan told me very softly to run up an adjacent hill and gather some leaves from a specific bush and rub my legs in order to alleviate the muscular pain. From where I stood, I could very plainly see a large, lush, green bush. The leaves seemed to be very moist. I had used them before. I never felt that they had helped me, but Don Juan had always maintained that the effect of really friendly plants was so subtle that one could hardly notice it. Yet they always produced the results they were supposed to. I ran down the hill and up the other. When I got to the top, I realized that the exertion had almost been too much for me. I had a hard time catching my breath and my stomach was upset. I squatted and then crouched over for a moment until I felt relaxed. Then I stood up and reached over to pick the leaves he'd asked me to. But I couldn't find the bush. I looked around. I was sure I was on the right spot. But there was nothing in that area of the hilltop that even vaguely resembled that particular plant. Yet that had to be the spot where I'd seen it. Any other place would have been out of range for anyone looking from where Don Juan was standing. I gave up the search and walked to the other hill. Don Juan smiled benevolently as I explained my mistake. "Why do you call it a mistake?" he asked. "Obviously the bush isn't there," I said.
"But you saw it, didn't you?"
"I thought I did."
"What do you see in its place now?"
"Nothing." There was absolutely no vegetation on the spot where I thought I had seen the plant. I attempted to explain what I'd seen as a visual distortion, a sort of mirage. I'd really been exhausted, and because of my exhaustion, I may have easily believed I was seeing something that I expected to be there, but which wasn't there at all. Don Juan chuckled softly and stared at me for a brief moment.
"I see no mistake," he said. "The plant is there, on that hilltop."
It was my turn to laugh. I scanned the whole area carefully. There were no such plants in view, and what I had experienced was, to the best of my knowledge, a hallucination. Don Juan very calmly began to descend the hill and signaled me to follow. We climbed together to the other hilltop and stood right where I thought I'd seen the bush. I chuckled with the absolute certainty I was right. Don Juan also chuckled.
"Walk to the other side of the hill," Don Juan said. "You'll find the plant there."
I brought up the point that the other side of the hill had been outside my field of vision, that a plant may be there, but that didn't mean anything. Don Juan signaled me with a movement of his head to follow him. He walked around the top of the hill instead of going directly across, and dramatically stood by a green bush without looking at it. He turned and looked at me. It was a peculiarly piercing glance.
"There must be hundreds of such plants around here," I said.
Don Juan very patiently descended the other side of the hill with me trailing along. We looked everywhere for a similar bush, but there was none in sight. We covered about a quarter of a mile before we came upon another plant.